Hello, welcome back to Globe Talks, a podcast designed to encourage and strengthen our church family one conversation at a time. My name is Anahi, and I'm working as a ministry trainee for Globe Church this year. Today, I'm joined by Izzy, Evan and Sam to chat about diversity in the church with a particular focus on disability. I know you guys have done a bit of thinking on this topic already, so it's great to be able to hear some of your insights over the course of our conversation. Could we just kick off by hearing a bit more about yourselves?
I'm Evan and I moved to London about 10 years ago and I've been at Globe for 5 of those years. I work for a disability charity called Sense and my job is coming up with ways of improving the lives of disabled people and then trying to push the government to adopt them. And I particularly work on social care, welfare and employment.
Hi, I'm Izzy. I moved to London about 3.5 years ago and joined Globe when I moved to London. And I now live, just up the road. I have been teaching in special needs schools for the last 6 years and I currently teach a class of autistic children with complex needs, including like social and emotional difficulties and communication differences.
Great. Hi, I'm Sam. I've been at Globe for about 7 years. I live with my wife Sarah just down the road in Elephant Castle. I'm a civil servant working in Westminster, where I've spent the last couple of years working on government policies which help people with disabilities and health conditions get jobs or stay in work. And I'm also profoundly deaf.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys. I know disability is something that you guys interact with and engage with a lot in the context of your work and in your daily life. But for those who might be coming to this conversation without much prior insight, I wonder if we can start by defining what we mean by disability. Evan, do you mind just kicking us off with that?
Sure. So it's helpful to say that disability isn't a biblical term, but it is a really helpful way of thinking about the different conditions and impairments that affect different people's lives, and they can cause suffering that can be down to pain or other symptoms caused by the condition or impairment, but it can also be down to other people's attitudes. And it's worth saying that the Bible talks about ending the suffering in this world, but that's not necessarily the same as saying that all disability will end. We're not entirely sure what that will look like for lots of people in the new creation. We think of disability mainly in terms of what we see. The wheelchair is the primary example, but actually there's a lot of different conditions and impairments that would be described as disabilities. It can be people with sensory impairments, like people who are deaf or blind. It can cover conditions that affect somebody's movement, learning disabilities, mental health conditions and other medical conditions. So in Britain we have the piece of legislation that defines disability, that's the Equality Act. Mm-hmm. And that defines disability as a physical or mental impairment that has a substantial and long-term negative effect on your ability to do normal day-to-day tasks. And 1 in 5 people are disabled by this definition in the UK. So disability is about the way that a condition or impairment affects your life. So it's related to sickness and illness, but it's not the same. Some people think about disability as something that society creates. Society puts up the barriers that make somebody disabled, for example, by holding negative attitudes or by building buildings without wheelchair access. But not everybody thinks about disability in the same way. There'll be some disabled people where being disabled is part of their identity and they couldn't imagine any other life. And there'll be other disabled, there'll be disabled Christians who might see it as a gift from God, but there'll be other disabled people who might desperately wish that they didn't have that conditional impairment. They might think that their lives would be better without that.
Thank you, Evan. I think it's really interesting what you just said there about how disability can be thought of in different ways by different people. So even as we explore this topic in more detail, I think it'll be really helpful for us to recognize that we will all come to this conversation with slightly different experiences and perceptions. Good to kind of keep that in mind. And hopefully we'll learn a lot from this conversation as well. I'm really interested to see what the Bible teaches about disability. So could you guys shed some light on how the Bible speaks into this topic? And what does that reveal about God's heart towards people with physical, sensory or cognitive impairments?
So I think it's worth reflecting on the fact that all of us are physically limited in some way. In particular, lots of people have to wear glasses, people get injured through sport or have other limitations. And if you give it enough time, disability is likely to come to all of us. And often the story that our society tells us is that people are valuable because of what they produce. I'm not just thinking about people's work or how much money they earn. I'm also thinking about being great at creative pursuits or being really adept socially. In that story, your ability defines your worth. And therefore, disability as something that hinders what you're able to do is a problem. It's something to be ashamed of. But God shatters that story. Mm. And God says, you're my child. Your value is set by the fact that I've created you, I've called you by name, and now go and be fruitful in the manner that is unique to the circumstances I give you.
Mm. Wow. I can't help smiling as I hear you explain that, because it's so encouraging to hear. Mm. What a great reminder it is that our value is not dependent on our productivity, but rather we are precious because our identity is wrapped up as being children of God. That is such a beautiful and freeing reality that we get to live in.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I think what you just said is so helpful, Sam. And it's so clear that throughout the Bible, that humans are God's intentional creation. They're loved by God. And this, of course, includes people with disabilities. And like looking back to Genesis 1, when God creates mankind in his own image, we see just how valuable we are because of our creator, not because of our cognitive or physical abilities, or because of our beauty or our skills or whatever else it is. It's being human that gives us dignity, and we have worth because our creator is worthy and he has such great worth. And just going back to your question, Nahi, like how does the Bible kind of speak into this topic? There really is so much in the Bible that speaks about and speaks into disability. So I think it sometimes feels overwhelming, quite knowing where to start or, you know, where do we look to? So I think something that I found helpful when I've been reflecting on this is Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he teaches on the body of Christ. And I think this is just a really helpful starting point. Often I think the word disability might cause us to focus on the condition itself or what a person is lacking or the specific challenges they might face or the limitations a person faces. But Paul shows us something different, that this isn't how God sees people with disabilities. Mm. So I might just read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 18 to 26. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Yeah, so I think what I find interesting, sort of reading through that passage, is that when Paul talks about the parts of the body that seem weaker, and notice that he says seem, so maybe the parts of the body that seem less exciting or those who are less seen by church, those that seem less impressive or lacking in strength, those are actually the parts of the body that we cannot live without. Paul says that they are indispensable parts of the body of Christ. He doesn't just say they're valuable. He says, you know, he uses the word indispensable for a reason. It seems to be that he's saying that the body of Christ is made most complete when people with disabilities are fully integrated into the life and mission of the church. And I think that's it's just super helpful. The church needs people with disabilities just as much as they need the church. So people with disabilities are not just people that, you know, we can minister to, that we can love and we can care for, but they are actually people who can participate in ministry. Yeah, and I think it's something that we might not necessarily consider sometimes. Do we think about what this looks like? You know, what gifts might a disabled person offer our church family? How might that person be serving us already? What are they teaching us? What can we learn from them?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's always very tempting just to think inclusion for disabled people in church means that somebody can just sit in their wheelchair quietly, listen to the sermon and go home. And it's easy to have that sort of tokenistic approach to inclusion, but actually that's not a biblical approach. Actually, we should be wanting to get disabled people involved and looking at why disabled people can't get involved in our church. And, you know, you mentioned Paul, and this is a bit of guesswork, but some people think that maybe the thorn in the flesh that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians is actually an eye condition, because he also mentions writing with large letters, and the Galatians talk about potentially gouging out their own eyes for him. So that's guesswork, but, you know, if it was right, then it would be all the more proof that actually we need to make sure we involve disabled people and people with medical conditions in ministry and not just put them on the sideline. I think as well, in terms of it's useful to look at the way that Jesus interacts with disabled people. Yeah. In Luke 18, Jesus is approached by a blind man. And what's quite interesting is that it says, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want to do for me? So it's interesting that when everyone around him was telling the man to shut up and to be quiet, Jesus saw his intrinsic worth. And I think it's always worth reflecting on that when we think about involving disabled people in church, because sometimes there is a risk that we are just telling them to sit down quietly and not to make a fuss.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important to reflect on these things and be honest with our hearts and also before God, to see how we can be doing this well, because the message in the Bible is really clear, the teachings that we see in Paul and in the life of Jesus, that those who seem weaker, I love the fact that you really highlighted the word seems there, Izzy, those who seems weaker are actually indispensable, and we're not just to move towards them in love and compassion, which is right to do, but there's so much that we can also learn from them. So yeah, this is definitely something that I want to do a bit more reflecting on. How can we get people with disabilities more involved if that's their wish? And like you said, Evan as well, not just a token thing, but really as a valued member of the family. Because yeah, God has been really clear in his design and in his picture, that every part of the body is precious. I wanted us to think through some of the ways that we're already doing this well in church, and some practical ways that we can grow in this. But before we get to there, I really want to hear a bit about your experience, Sam, because in your little intro at the beginning, you told us that you're profoundly deaf. So can you tell us a little bit more about this, and share how your deafness has affected you?
Yeah, great. So I'm profoundly deaf. I was born with normal hearing, and I had normal hearing until about the age of 3. And then over the course of a month or so, it deteriorated to the point that it is now. And there's no known cause for that, but it was probably something genetic. And then since then, my hearing loss has remained stable. I've not lost any more or got any better. I wear hearing aids, but I don't have cochlear implants. I'm on the sort of threshold for that. And hearing loss is measured in terms of what you can hear without hearing aids at 1 meter distance. And so at 1 meter, I could hear a motorbike going past, but nothing really quieter than that. And that has meant that I'm very reliant on lip reading. So when I can't lip read, my ability to comprehend what's being said goes down by about 80%. So it's been a substantial thing impacting my life, but I also feel very fortunate, and I think it's worth saying that up front. I feel like there are people out there with much worse disabilities, and you know, I'm also very privileged. I'm white, I'm a man, I come from a relatively wealthy family who were able to afford things like additional support or extra equipment, and my parents also really valued education. They put loads of effort into homeschooling me, helping me to read well, helping me to speak well from an early age. So I feel like I'm very privileged and fortunate in the resources I've been given. And then for me, church is reasonably accessible. Generally, I either sit somewhere near the front or somewhere I can lip read the speaker. Globe has got a T-loop system that I can use. But there are definitely tricky aspects. So loud settings with lots of background noise are tricky, whether that's church, you know, the meal we have after the service, or, you know, out at a bar or something. Group prayer is another one that's very tricky, where we all bow our heads, and it's quite hard to sort of be lip reading people in that situation. I've got an iPhone now, and that can has a feature where I can directly connect to my hearing aids and live listen to people, which has been super helpful recently. I also have to sort of talk to people about it up front and you know, explain that people might need to get my attention before they speak to me, whether by beginning their sentence with my name, you know, rather than leaving it to the end, which I think is more normal, or by tapping or waving or somehow getting my attention. But I would say that the main effect of my deafness is not actually really whether I can or can't hear any in any particular situation. The main impact on my life has been overwhelmingly what I would call the secondary effects of those things. So the impact that it has on your ability to form relationships, you know, makes it more difficult to talk to people, and there's sort of subsequent difficulties of that. So, you know, I'm often, well, I can be on the edge about whether I've missed something, have I heard something, have I not, or maybe mishearing something and then saying something that's awkward or doesn't quite flow in response, which means that it brings a level of anxiety or difficulty or frustration to social interaction that can then lead to isolation, further difficulties, and those knock-on effects. It's definitely something I really struggled with in my teenage years in particular, in terms of not being able to join in relationships as much as would have been ideal.
Right. Thank you so much for sharing so honestly. It's really, really helpful to hear about your lived experience. You mentioned there about church and community and things like that. So I just wondered, could you just share a little bit about how your faith has shaped your experience?
Yeah, so my faith's been essential for helping me make sense of what happened. The fact that life isn't just a vacuum where things are meaningless and stuff like my hearing loss just happens is really important. You know, knowing that this world is broken and there's suffering, but that one day God will restore everything is so important. In the more practical sense, my family's faith has been essential for shaping the love that they've shown me. And then also the faith of the church community has been really important for helping me get to where I am today. I've found that in general, Christians have been more keen to include and more forgiving than the general population, particularly when I was a sort of really stroppy child and teenager. I think being in that community was invaluable. In terms of my faith and my hearing loss, I'm not angry at God. I'm not resentful about it. People have prayed for healing for me, which I've always found super weird. It's not actually something I've ever wanted. I can understand why they do it, but it's not something I've ever asked for. I've sort of seen it as just a fact of who I am. And I would say in some ways being disabled has really helped me in my faith. It's a sort of daily reminder that the world isn't as it should be and that I need to trust God rather than myself. I've got that daily reminder to not rely on myself. And I don't mean that in a sort of low self-esteem type of way. I think it's super important for people with disabilities not to be having that attitude and to not be thinking that they're less or they're not good enough because of their disabilities. But the fact is that everyone needs to be reminded that they are weak in and of themselves, but God is strong. Yeah. And it just so happens that this is the thing that for me, I have every day, and it reminds me to lean on God.
Sam, it's really clear that you've done a lot of thinking on this, just from the way that you share so much truth in a really concise way. So thank you. You mentioned there that you're not angry at God or resentful, and rather how this impairment has helped you to live God-reliant rather than self-reliant, which is a reminder that we all need, to be fair. And you sharing about that kind of reminded me of something that Evan said at the start about how some Christians will see disability as a gift from God, whilst others desperately wish they were not disabled. I would love you guys to speak into this tension a little bit, if you can. I know we're not going to be able to cover everything in our time, but it's probably important to address that some people see this as a gift whilst others really, really struggle with it. And if you've come across any really helpful resources please mention that, or we can put it in the show notes as well, because it would be good to kind of dig into this a bit more if we're not able to cover all the nuances.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting what you were saying, Sam, about the people, you finding it weird that people wanted to pray for you, because I'm sure that they thought, well, of course Sam wants people to pray for him. And I think that really brings us back to the point about not assuming what people want in life. I think we all can be quite guilty of assuming that everybody's life is worse if they don't lead it exactly as I lead it. And, you know, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to be blind or to be deaf. But then it's not really my place to assume that somehow, you know, life, Sam or anyone else has a terrible life because of their disability. And I think, yeah, that's the key thing, is to really, like, to take time to listen to people. Yeah. I think one thing I think concerns me sometimes is when people start focusing on things like healing somebody who's disabled, it kind of ignores the fact that actually there's a lot that we can do without healing. And Sam talked about how the main impact on him in church was secondary effects. And, you know, we can all do things to make sure that we don't exclude disabled people, whether that's through our attitudes or through, for example, speaking to somebody's care instead of to them, or whether it's not speaking with the hands over our mouth or when we're talking to somebody who's deaf or has a hearing impairment. There's all those sorts of things that we can do without needing to pray for somebody. And so, you know, somebody might want to be prayed for, and that's fine, but never assume that.
Yeah, just following on from that, Evan, and reflecting back on what you mentioned earlier with Bartimaeus in Mark, it just made me think about how Jesus relates to Bartimaeus, and he knows everything there is to know about Bartimaeus, and still he says to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus does say, "You know, I want sight, I want to be healed from my blindness." But I just think it's an interesting thing to reflect on about the way that he asks Bartimaeus, what do you need? He doesn't assume, okay, this is what Bartimaeus wants, even though he knows Bartimaeus, he knows his needs. Mm. And I think that potentially that's helpful for us to reflect on in the way that when we're relating to people with disabilities, is, you know, asking them, how can I help? What do you need? You know, how can I be a good friend to you? It doesn't even need to be as, deep as that, but just... like Evan, you were saying, not assuming we know what their need is.
I think having those open conversations really show care as well. You both have been alluded to it, just come alongside, ask those questions. And as you were talking there about Jesus having this conversation with Bartimaeus, it made me, just marvel at the fact that Jesus was close and personal. And for someone who is really struggling with disability and feels frustrated and wish that life was different, or they had more energy, or they weren't experiencing pain, all those kind of things, I think knowing the closeness of God in that can be a real comfort. And also knowing that, we're living in a broken world, and it's okay to groan forward, it's okay to mourn and grieve, and sit in that space and know that the Holy Spirit is there close, and we serve a God of all compassion. I think that might bring some comfort, but it's hard to speak into it without personal experience. So I think exactly as you've been saying, asking those questions and coming alongside with genuine care can help us know how we can, care for our friends who are really struggling with this reality.
Of course it is true that disabled people often face challenges, and that might be like direct suffering related to their condition. It might be pain. They might remember the time when they could hear things, and they might feel sad about the fact that they can't anymore. But at the same time, actually, often we can be part of the problem as non-disabled people. So our actions and attitudes can exclude disabled people. Mm. We can act in a dismissive way to disabled people. We can address their carers rather than the disabled people themselves. We can cover our mouth when we speak. We can do all those sorts of things, which actually causes suffering to other people. To give one example, the charity I work for, Sense, found that almost 70% of people with complex disabilities faced difficulties while socialising. And the biggest reason for that was actually other people's attitudes. Mm. So it's always worth us reflecting on whether our attitudes are helping to exclude someone else.
Yeah, so just bringing that home and reflecting a bit more about attitudes, I'd love us to think through some of the ways that as individuals and as Globe Church, we are loving people well in our church family that have disabilities. And then on the back of that, I would love for us to reflect on how we can grow in our love collectively and individually, and how we can improve the way that we love people with disabilities.
Yeah. So I think I've seen people be very open to talking about it in a helpful way at Globe, and to proactively asking me whether there are things that they can do, or noticing that I need to see someone's mouth, or noticing that I'm not quite hearing something in a conversation and then bringing me in. So I think that I've found Globe to be an inclusive place, and I'm thankful for it, that this is a church that I'm part of. In terms of top tips for things to be looking out for, I think three things come to mind. To start with, I suggest approaching disabled people on their own terms and using their language. On the language point, it can be a bit tricky, so it's just about asking, you know, if it comes up, how people like referring to themselves or their condition, all that kind of thing. So just take a specific example of autism. People who have autism can use a number of terms. They could say autistic people. Some people say autistics. Some people say people with autism. And it's really dependent on what that individual is most comfortable with. So, worth approaching them on their terms and asking. And then I think don't assume things. Like, for example, the example that we talked about earlier about people assuming that I wanted to be healed. But also remember that the primary way to interact with people who have disabilities is that they are made in the image of God, that they're like you. That's their primary identity, not the fact that they're disabled. So I think don't make the disability as well, particularly if it's a visible one, like they're in a wheelchair or something, don't make the disability the focus of your conversation with them. Approach them as a person first, and then, be sensitive to that and be willing to talk about it if it's something they want to talk about. So the second thing I suggest is I recommend that the opportunity to love disabled people is a really precious gift from God. And I don't know that it's always easy to think of it like that. And I think particularly some acts of love can be really, really difficult. So people who are parents of disabled people, carers of people with very severe disabilities, often have a really tough time. And there's a lot of difficulty in loving people with those conditions. But loving disabled people well can be an incredible way of living out God's calling to be part of his kingdom and not the world's kingdom. And it's worth celebrating that gift. And the third thing I suggest just on that is it's worth thinking about and remembering carers and people who are not formally carers, but who are deeply involved in looking after people with disabilities of whatever kind. Because caring for people with disabilities can be really rewarding, but also really tired, really demanding. And it's worth as a church looking out for those carers and supporting them as well.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. That's some really helpful thoughts and ideas and sort of springboards for how we can reflect more on that as a church, potentially more broadly, but also more specifically. As we've chatted about, disability is such a huge spectrum and lots of different disabilities require different things or people have different needs. So there's not a sort of one size fits all when it comes to thinking about this and what that looks like in church. But there are definitely lots of practical ways we can love our brothers and sisters who have disabilities. And there are specific areas we can be thinking and praying about as a church family to cater for those who are already here with disabilities, but also to prepare for people who might be coming through our doors this Sunday or, in a few months' time, whenever that is. So some of those areas might be accessibility or the environment, our style of worship, communion, how we pray with one another, language, accessing the gospel, whether that's in the kind of Sunday sermon or whether it's through kids' work. yeah, the sermon itself, our relationships with one another, focus groups, hospitality, etc. There's so many different areas to think about. But there are lots of simple things that could easily change the culture of our church. And I think Globe has already started thinking about this, and we are doing things already. So, for example, we've got a really great accessibility page on the website. And if you haven't checked it out, we'd definitely go and have a look at it. It does highlight kind of what to expect on a typical Sunday. There's a schedule on there, a breakdown of what each part of the Sunday service might look like. Yeah, which is really helpful for everyone. It's not just for people who have disabilities. I think that's sometimes something that we might overlook, that actually making making a change for one person potentially with a disability might actually be helpful for a wide range of other people as well. So yeah, that's really great. Yeah, so also there's been a big increase in Globe trying to use mics more frequently so that people can hear what people are saying. They're not just speaking using their own voice. But again, yeah, a really helpful accommodation for people. So yeah, there is lots that Globe is doing. I think something personally that I've been reflecting on due to my field of work is thinking about how we can reach children and families of children with more complex additional needs. They are potentially quite an unreached people group, partly because a typical Sunday service is not necessarily accessible for them. Perhaps even leaving the house isn't feasible with a child who has really complex needs. So I think it's helpful for us to think about how we can make the gospel accessible to people who can't get to a church on Sunday, or people who can never access a typical Sunday service because of their needs. So how do we love and care for parents or carers who, you know, who might not be able to attend church because one of them will need to stay at home to look after their child, for example? So it might be helpful for us to think about, you know, how do we alter our perception of what church should look like? How can we, you know, make church more messy, more free, yeah, to accommodate for, yeah, people with specific disabilities such as these?
Yeah, I really agree with that. I think, you know, the Bible doesn't set out a specific way of doing a church service. The Bible doesn't tell you how to do church. But if you went to all the churches across London, across the UK, across the world, you'd come up with a list of things that should be in a church service. And I think it's really worth thinking about whether those traditions that we've developed, whether it's things like sermons or the way we do singing or the way that we do focus groups or Bible studies, whether those actually include or exclude people. And I think we really have to be willing to change those where they aren't working for disabled people. So, you know, that might mean that we do something that isn't as comfortable. It's not as something we're not as familiar with. But our love of comfort and familiarity shouldn't really come at the expense of other people and their ability to worship God and learn about him. At the same time as well, it's not just a zero-sum game that, like, as you said, there are some changes that will benefit other people. I can remember my father is a church minister, and I remember in one church he was a pastor at, he started printing off his sermons to hand to the old ladies who were deaf in the church. When we moved to a different church that was more diverse, he then was able to print off those sermons and hand them to the asylum seekers in the church who didn't speak English very well. So there's so many different things, where so many different occasions where changes might actually benefit other people as well.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Evan. And I think it can be easy to listen to these things, all these suggestions, and feel slightly overwhelmed, thinking it sounds like there are so many different things that we can do to change. So I'm actually really encouraged to hear that we're already doing some of this really well. And oftentimes I found that how some of these changes come into play are on the backs of conversations. So it's really important, actually, that if you see something that you're like, I think we could do this better, it's worth making suggestions. And just on what Evan said there about not clinging to our comforts and how we can love people better by changing things slightly, that reminded me about the mics that we were talking about earlier, that Izzy mentioned. So just to clarify, when we're talking about mics, we are thinking particularly of prayer meetings. I think we also use them at worship nights, response times at the end of a sermon, and our members meeting as well. Really helpful for when we have people from the congregation praying or sharing. And I've actually seen a change in practice over a period of time, from just trying to shout or speak louder, to an increasing use of handheld mics during these times. And to be honest, at first, I thought was a bit inconvenient, if I'm honest. I was like, having to put my hand up for a mic or going to the front to pray felt like a real inconvenience or an interruption. But it just took someone saying from the front, I think it was probably in our members meeting, that having mics massively helps how people who struggle to hear can engage and be involved in the meeting. And it was kind of like a light bulb moment for me. Like, it's so simplistic, but it made me think, wow, this is such a small adjustment that I can make, but it really helps other people in our church family. So I guess, yeah, just to say that we need to have some sensitivity, and it's great that we get to learn together and make mistakes together, but in all, we're growing together as a church family. So all that to say, definitely, if you come across something, it's worth raising it, because as Zizzy rightly pointed out, it's not a one size fits all. This will be an ongoing process, and it will require grace and patience with each other. And we definitely need God's wisdom for sure. But it's something that's happening all the time. I know there's a group that meets semi-regularly, headed up by Mike, one of our pastors, and Izzy, Sam and Evan, I think you guys are on this as well, right? Great. Yeah, I'm seeing nods. But it's probably just worth saying that if you did want to make a suggestion, the best avenue is probably to either catch one of them after church or send Mike an email. And we might be able to do some, we might be able to make some changes. Can't promise that we'll do everything, but it's definitely worth thinking and chatting some of this stuff through.
Yeah, I think it's really great that we are having these conversations, and I think there are lots of churches where people wouldn't be thinking about disability. So the fact we have this podcast, we did a session at the weekend away last year, I think that's really positive, and I've definitely seen over the past few years people understanding disability more, and I've seen improvements, things like people being more likely to pass somebody a mic. But also, I feel like it's a bit further up people's priority list, and it's on people's mind, which is really, really positive, and it's definitely showing that we're going the right direction.
Yeah, fab. Thank you guys so much for all your input. It's been really, really insightful. And thank you for listening. I hope you've been encouraged and strengthened. May the Lord forgive us for the times that we fail to love those with disabilities well, and pray that he helps us move towards those who are different from us with love and compassion. I pray that he would continue to help us grow in this area, that we would be able to live in a way that brings him glory. Amen.
Amen.
So thanks again for listening. See you guys next time when we pick up our next conversation. Bye.
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 Bye.